It is great to see you, church. I am very thankful to be here today. I am very thankful for all of those who are able to be in our presence, whether that be in person or through the virtual world. Today we have a very special young man in our presence today. We have a proud mom, a proud dad, a proud grandmother, a proud grandfather, proud uncle, proud great-grandmother. We've got a lot of folks that love this baby. And we're so proud of Maggie and Blake and their love for each other, their love for the church, and now their love for Mitchell. Mitchell is visiting with us today, and so come on and bring him up, brother, and let's let everybody see how good-looking this fella is. Look at there. Look how handsome, huh? Isn't that sweet? Precious. Congratulations to you guys. We're glad you're here. Glad you're going to raise that baby up in Jesus Christ. So, awesome. Very proud of all of y'all. Daniel Paul, wasn't that long I held you up, by the way. I've asked Joseph to stick around just a moment. I already led a song on virtual because my microphone was on. So I'm not going to lead this song. And I appreciate the people that text me that say, hey, your microphone's on. I'm sure that's because they don't want me to say anything, not because of my singing. But listen, I understand humility, trust me. But I want us to set the tone going into this lesson. I've asked Joseph to lead number 745. You know it. You don't even have to turn to it. So let's join in the song.
Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He will live. Is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And He died for us. And He died for us. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That saved a wretch like me. That saved a wretch like me. When we've been there 10,000 years, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, bright shining as the sun. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up, and He will lift you up.
Thank you, Joseph. You see, I wanted Joseph to lead us in that song because, as George made mention in Bible class this morning, we are chosen. We are called. We are God's special people. But sometimes we can put ourselves on the throne. Sometimes we decide, because I am chosen, because I am God's people, maybe we don't do this purposely, but subconsciously, we still think we can handle things our own way. But as we're entering, we entered into this series that will take us through the year as examining that person in the mirror. I want to remind us that the way to God is on our knees, on our face, humbled before Him. You see, pride is at the root of all sin. If you think about that, you go back to James and what James said. James said that we are drawn away by someone else's lust, no, our own. The things that Satan, the evil one, the god of this age, the god of this world, the prince of this earth, the lying, the liar, the deceiver, you see, he's coming after you and he's coming after me, not with things that he wants us to sin with things that he knows we want to sin with. You see, pride does go before destruction. You remember we're taught, take heed, why? Lest ye fall. If we're not careful as a people of God, we can become like the Pharisees. We can have that informed faith. Oh yes, I've been raised in the church. Oh yes, I know Acts 2:38 and 1 Peter and Mark 16 and all Galatians 3 and all those that I'm supposed to know. I know them all. And I'm glad we do. But sometimes we need to get off our high horse. And we need to get on our bellies and crawl. You see, if we're not careful, church, the evil one can get inside here. And we can all think, hey, we're okay right where we sit. And we can be so wrong. When Satan first desired to make himself like the Most High, Isaiah 14:14, it is of this minister's belief that that is when sin originated. I believe that God wanted a global Eden. I believe that God wanted paradise on earth where He would be supreme, where He would be Yahweh, He would be Elohim of Elohim, the God of gods. He would be the Almighty, the All-Powerful. By the way, He is all those things. But the global Eden would worship Him. But the fallen angel Satan, he slithered his way right into paradise. He broke up that mindset. And he did it because he wanted to be supreme. That originated pride. That originated sin. And pride was the bait that Satan used to tempt Eve when he set aside what God had said and assured her that if she ate of the forbidden fruit, she would be godlike. Genesis 3:1-6. Let's bring it to you and me. Have you ever thought of sin this way? I read this and I put it in here because I thought it was so powerful. When I sin, I'll make it personal to me. When Terry Cagle sins, I am arrogantly asserting that I know better than God knows what is best for me. I know I've heard all the definitions of sin, and you have too. Sin separates us from God. It is us falling in His will. It is what gets us off course. But when I heard it that way, it hit me between the eyes that when I sin, I'm putting myself as godlike. Because I am drawn away by my own desires. As Christians, we must constantly battle pride and we must grow in humility. That's why we need to, as we get ready to examine ourselves through a study of this subject today, we need to elevate humility in our own lives. You know, if anyone could have fallen into the trap of pride, I believe it could have been John the Baptist. I personally believe John the Baptist is the most underrated Bible character in all the Bible. Think about this. Who else in human history, apart from Jesus Christ Himself, could claim to have been filled with the Holy Spirit while still in His mother's womb? Luke 1:15. Only two that I've ever heard of. No one else in human history had the important role of being the forerunner of the Messiah. Luke 1:17 and verse 76. John enjoyed immediate popular success as all Jerusalem and all Judea and those from surrounding areas were going out to him. Where? They were traveling to the wilderness. Why? So that they could be confess their sins and be baptized, Matthew 3, 5 and 6. Even Jesus Christ testified of John that he was the greatest man in human history. Remember, he said, those born of woman, there is none greater. Matthew 11, 11. If anybody could have put themselves on a throne and probably had a great following, he already did. He had disciples himself and could have claimed to be a false Messiah, a false God, the false King of Kings. It could have been John the Baptist. But here's what's said about him. Turn in your Bibles today to our text. John chapter 3, verses 22 through 30. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 22. After these things, Jesus and His disciples came into the land of Judea. And there He remained with them and baptized. Now John was also baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John had not yet been thrown into prison. Then there arose a dispute between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have testified, behold, he is baptizing and all are coming to him. What is that? That is Satan using someone to try to stir up pride. That is the evil one trying to stir up pride in John's disciples. I think it's working in some of John's disciples and in John himself. But listen to this answer. Verse 27. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ. But I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. If anybody could have been full of pride, full of self, and full of putting themselves on the throne and the place of Jesus Christ, and I believe he was tempted to be, it could have been John the Baptist. But as it says about Jesus, he made himself of no reputation. John, in our text, gives his disciples a basic lesson in humility. In the face of Jesus' growing popularity and His own waning popularity, John gives us a one-liner to live by. He must increase and I must decrease. I promise you this, church, if you don't hear anything else I say, and I've got a lot more words to say, but if you will take that line that John uttered all those years ago and utter that to yourself every day. He must increase, I must decrease. He must increase, I must decrease. I must decrease, He must increase. If we will utter that over and over and over again, we will understand humility. I only have 2 points today. Now, there's some sub-points under those, so don't get excited. Number one, humility comes when we understand who God is. You see, humility stems from understanding that God is absolutely sovereign. Look back at verse 27. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven." John replies to the disciples' worried report. I mean, what were they worried about? Oh, he's getting more followers than you. We hear that this man, Jesus, he's getting more disciples than you. That's the worried report that they reported to him. Here's what John said. He said, "A man can receive nothing unless it's been given to him from heaven above." What if we took on that attitude today? How would our contribution be? Think about that. Hey, this money isn't mine. We say it all the time, but do we really believe it? Do we really believe that that money is not ours? Or do we hold on to it like it is? What do we do about our time? I mean, we'd have to go get more food today, wouldn't we, Bill? We'd have so much people, we wouldn't have enough food, and that'd be a good problem. You could just have mine. I don't probably need to eat today anyhow. I could go a few days, wouldn't be all right. But if we manage our time and say, "My time is not mine, it's God's," I'd fill it up with good things. What if it came to our worship? What if it came to our Bible class? What if it came to Wednesday night? What if it came to teaching outdoor Bible? What if it came to teaching our adult classes or other classes? What if it came to just putting in a good word for Jesus, that this is not about me, it's about Him? You see, if I adopt that attitude today and I de-elevate myself, decrease myself and elevate Jesus Christ, then I will have no issues in the church. But the problem is, the one who said, "I will exalt myself to the Most High," is still alive. And He's still present. And it sounds good right now. Man, it sounds good. Hey, you know, it's kind of like Friday night, my pregame speech, I had the kids fired up and ready, and we went out and got our teeth kicked in. Sometimes it sounds good in here. Terry's got me fired up. Terry's got me ready. And I'm going to do this. But then Monday comes and kicks my teeth right in. John said, "Hey, it's not about me." You see, the truth applies. The truth being, it only comes from heaven. It applies to all spiritual matters, including our salvation. Luke 10, 21 and 22. Jesus emphasized it this way in John 6, 65. "No one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father." Think about that. We can't go to Jesus unless God says it's okay. And God has said it's okay. Paul applies this to us as gifted members of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6. "Now there are varieties of gifts," he said, "but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." He adds in chapter 12, verse 11, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as He wills." Not as He wills, but as He wills. In other words, God gives different spiritual gifts, ministries, and results according to His sovereign will. Humility stems from recognizing that this is God's prerogative, and we should be bowing before His sovereign will. God, this is His church. God, this is His world. God, this is His word. God, this is His plan. In none of that did it say Terry, nor did it say your name. Now, do I benefit from it? You better believe it. Because I'm a wretched sinner saved by the grace and blood of Jesus Christ. But because of that, I need to walk humbly, asking God to direct every step of my life. Humility, yes. We understand that it stems from understanding that God is absolutely sovereign, but it also stems from understanding that Jesus is Lord and Christ. He said that in John chapter 3, verse 28. He reminds them, John reminds his disciples, that is, that I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of Him. You see, clearly John knew that Jesus was the Christ, the promised Messiah. And in chapter 3, verse 29, he used an illustration from a Jewish wedding. And I love this. Sometimes I think we read over this part and we miss what he's saying. Here's what he said. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has been made full. Listen, John knew that Jesus was the promised groom. And the church was the promised bride. Listen now, don't miss this. You know what John's role was? To walk the bride down the aisle and then to get out of the way. That's what he said. I was the best man. I was the one who is going to escort the groom so that he can receive the bride. And now I'm going to stand back out of the way because it's not about me. It's about Jesus and the bride. In the Old Testament, Yahweh is often pictured as the bridegroom or husband, and Israel as his bride. For example, Isaiah 54:5, the Lord tells Israel, "For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts." In Isaiah 62:5, the last part of that verse says, "And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you." Hosea 2, verse 16, the Lord tells Israel, and there and then in the future, that they will call the Lord my husband. He promises in Hosea 2, 19, I will betroth you to me forever. Jesus used this analogy of himself when he explained to some of John's disciples why Jesus did not fast in Matthew 9, 15. Here's what he said. The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they'll fast. Now, if Yahweh, Old Testament, is Israel's bridegroom, and John the Baptist and Jesus himself proclaim that Jesus Christ is the church's bridegroom, then we have the affirmation that Jesus is God. We are Israel today. We are God's chosen people. Jesus and God. Jesus is Lord. If God is the bridegroom and Jesus is the bridegroom, then Jesus is God. The lesson in humility for us is this. Yes, humility comes with understanding who God is. But we also got to understand and know that in order to understand who God is, Jesus, God, must be Lord. Number two this morning. Humility comes from understanding who we are in God's presence. 2 points, but there's a lot to those points. The first one we just went over, humility comes from understanding who God is. This one we need to talk about, it comes from understanding who we are when we stand in the presence of God. You see, when Jesus was baptizing and those disciples came to John and said, "Hey, He's gaining some popularity. And John stood before those people. You know what he knew? He knew he wasn't the Christ. He knew it. He knew his role. Now he demands his disciples of what he's repeatedly said in John 3:28. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent ahead of him. You may think, well, there's not much danger that I'm going to start thinking that I'm the Christ. But remember what I said earlier? I'm guessing that today none of you are going to leave here claiming to be Jesus Christ. I just got a good guess and hunch about that. But here's what happens when Satan comes into our lives and throws temptations our way. We sin, and that quote that I used earlier, it tells people that I'm going on the throne. When sin reigns supreme in my life, God's not on the throne, I am. You see, that is the mentality that we have got to make sure we get out of our lives, therefore we get it out of the church. The church is not about Terry Cagle. The church is not about our elders. Not about our youth minister, not about our one-to-one minister. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about God. It's about Jesus Christ. That's why John said, it's time for me to get out of the way and let Jesus be the star that he was destined to be. The opposite of humility is sinful pride. Pride puts us on the throne instead of putting God on the throne. We are not Christ. In fact, we should have the attitude that we belong to Christ. Humility stems from understanding that everything I am and everything I have has been entrusted to me by God to be used for His purpose and His glory. John said it again in John 3:27. He said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. See, John the Baptist recognized that his unique role in history was not something that he had achieved by his own brilliance or hard work. He didn't tell those disciples, look at what I... By the way, he didn't have anything. The man lived in the wilderness and he ate locusts and wild honey. That's what he feasted upon. So he didn't live a life that said, look at me. I mean, you know that man had 100,000 different stenches, right? I mean, he is gnarly. He is not pleasant to look at. This is the way I picture it. But people are still coming and trying to say, hey, Jesus' disciples are beating yours. And here's what he said. He said, that's not my role. He said, I almost feel like John is saying, thank you, God, that it's now time for me to get out of the way. I believe that's the mentality he had. I don't believe he liked the attention. I don't believe he did it because it was his duty. It was his mission. But it's almost like he is relieved now that the Messiah is here. He didn't get that from his own hard work. Rather, God had graciously given him this title, this responsibility, so that John could point people to Jesus. It had nothing to do with anything good in John's life. It had everything to do with God's sovereign, gracious purpose for John. The Apostle Paul reminded the arrogant Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7, why do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You remember in the Old Testament? I believe Justin probably read this to us recently, or I've heard it recently. I think it was Justin. That reminded us that the things that, he said, don't forget, right? Don't forget that you're going to a land that you didn't build. You're going to harvest. You didn't plant. You know, you're going. But what did they do? They forgot. He got them out of slavery. He parted the Red Sea. They walked across dry land. He gave them food to eat, water to drink. Their shoes never worn out. Their clothes never wore out. But they complained. They even said we were better off in slavery. Why do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? When Pilate was frustrated that Jesus would not answer him, he told Jesus that he had the authority either to release him or crucify him. Jesus said, oh no. John 19:11. He said, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. You see, it's such an important lesson for us always to keep in mind. All our gifts, all our abilities, all our opportunities come from God by grace alone. Everything from God. About to close. I want you to understand what humility, where it comes from, and we've talked about that. Now as we close, I want to remind you how to maintain it. Humility is maintained by having a proper definition of success in ministry. There are two things that we need to understand from this story. Number one, success in ministry does not necessarily mean we're going to have the largest following. For a long time, I struggled with that. I have people here that will bear witness of that. I want us to have the biggest church. I want us to have the most in our youth group when I was there. Why? I mean, that's the competitive nature of it all, right? And by the way, I still want us to have great numbers. But probably because when I was a younger minister, I put a lot of stock in numbers. Put a lot of stock in counting big numbers. I still want us to have big numbers, but not for the same reasons. You see, that doesn't deem success. Jesus had thousands following him, as long as he was feeding them. But when he started talking about his body and his blood, they said, oh, this is a hard saying. And every one of them turned away, except for 12. He turned to those 12, he said, you want to leave too? They said, oh no, sir. For you hold the words to eternal life. You see, John's disciples were concerned because the numbers in his following were going down, while the number in Jesus' following were going up. But John wasn't trying to build a following for John. He was trying to build a following for Jesus. Secondly, success in ministry is to exalt Christ and bring others to do the same. John's aim and his joy, he said, was to bring the bride to the bridegroom. We must always keep in mind that it's all about the bridegroom and not at all about the best man. You see, church, he must increase, but I must decrease. Today, at this hour, at this time, I hope you have examined yourself. I've examined myself as I've gone through these words, and I've tried to remind myself that, Terry, you got to get out of the way. There are a lot of great people here. A lot of great people that I hold in high regard. But the reason I hold them in high regard is not because of them. It's because of the Spirit of Jesus living in them. Today, if you need to get off your throne. And you need to realize that it's not about you, that it's about Him. I pray that you will get off the throne today. And if you need to walk the aisle, you'll walk the aisle. And you'll sit on this front row, as a lot of folks do, with tears in their eyes, and say, I am sorry. I want to decrease, and I want Jesus Christ to increase. And we'll pray with you. We'll love you. And that's exactly what will happen today. But there may be some who are here today that you've been walking in sin and you've been walking lost and you've been living your life and you've been sitting on your throne, and it's time to surrender all. Behind this wall is water. And when you go down in that water, you will put to death your selfish desires, your selfish life, and your sinful life. You'll be buried with Christ, and you'll come up out of that water to walk in newness of life, a life that's not about us anymore. It's all about Him. Exalt, elevate, expand, increase humility. And let's do it right now as together we stand and sing.